Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
So I was just telling everyone that you are a dancer with Ballet West, but I'd love for you to give us an introduction about how you came to Ballet West. So really your journey as a pre-professional dancer as well.
Okay. So I started dancing, well, I started training when I was five, like most-ish dancers. I started really young, and I did an after-school program with Hudson Repertory Dance Theater that they did at my school. And then we moved to Maryland, and then I had the bulk of my training from Maryland Youth Ballet and Dancer Prelims Residency Program at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, wow. And
I did the residency program up until I was about 15, because then we didn't have the program anymore. And then I kept training at Maryland Youth Ballet. Once I graduated high school, then I went to Boston Conservatory, where I got my BFA in contemporary performance with the ballet emphasis. Mm-hmm. And before my senior year of high school, I went to the summer intensive at Ballet West. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, they were also at the Kennedy Center, I believe, for Nutcracker. And at that time, I was doing Suzanne Farrell's masterclass series. So those of us that were selected to do that, any major company that comes into the Kennedy Center, you get to take a class with the director from that company. So I met Adam Sklew and Jane Wood through that program, and they invited a bunch of us to come to the summer. So I did that. And then went to college, graduated college, and I think it was my sophomore summer or junior summer, I went again to Ballet West. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out what I need to do to get a job. And so then senior year, you know, I did company auditions and I ended up getting a trainee position at Ballet West and been here since then.
Wow. So first of all, I love hearing your track in regard to going the audition route from the college perspective, like at the point of being in college. So talk to me a little bit about your senior in high school and you are deciding what you want to do. You go the route of college. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you wanted to eventually integrate being a professional dancer, but still going the college route?
Yes. So when I was in high school, well, okay. So before I even made it to my senior year, I was very much, I'm going to a company. I'm not going to college. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of hit a point where I became very realistic about my dancing and about my training. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to be more open to options, you know? Right. And mother, while she wholeheartedly supports my ballet career, she also values education. So she was like, I don't care where you go. I just need you to get a degree because, you know, God forbid something happens, you need to have a backup plan. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then I was like all for college because I was like, oh, I can go to college to dance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then I started searching a whole bunch of universities with good ballet programs, conservatories, you know, with great programs. And so, then I did a couple college tours, fell in love with Boston Conservatory and with Dominican University, their Alonzo Lines BFA program. So mm-hmm. either one of those, I was like, I have to be at one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did auditions. And after going to each of those places, I was really optimistic about going to college, which felt good because watching other dancers around me preparing for company auditions and being 17, especially now, I'm like, I'm so glad that that's not the route that I took, because there's just life things that you can miss. There's so many life things that happen, you know. So I was really happy, you know, that I went to college. I will say, though, it was hard being in a program that wasn't a ballet program. So trying to navigate keeping up my technique and my training to be ready as a professional was very, very hard. But luckily, when you're at a conservatory like that, you have staff that have also been professional dancers. So I was still able to have the training under my belt with my professors, even if we weren't doing a lot of classical works when we were performing. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I think that's very comforting for a lot of dancers to hear. I know that would have been comforting for me to hear as a 17-year-old dancer, because I too went the college route, the BFA route. I didn't end up finishing as a BFA, but that's a whole different story in regards to why I started dietetics. But it would have been comforting for me to hear, because I had that same thing. My family always very supportive of dance, but also valuing the idea of getting a degree, and me being that high school senior, like, I don't know, like, I want to, you know, I just want to like go the company route, and eventually not doing that. But hearing from you how you were able to not even go to a ballet specialized program, but still keep up the motivation and keep up your own personal training, luckily with the staff you had, to eventually still pursue that route by the time you graduated at 2021 to head over to Ballet West.
Yeah. And, you know, it's honestly crazy too that my mom sort of had that vision for me to get an education before getting a job in a professional ballet company, because the summer before I went to college was my first ACL tear. And so as soon as it happened, I was like, wow, if I was going into a company, like, depending on where I ended up, this may not be the best scenario, because trying to rehab for a job, which I'm learning now, is hard. You know, like, I have full support on all sides of everything. But just knowing that, like, okay, I have to get back to my job, it's way different than knowing that you need to get back to a class, or, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to transition me into the next huge topic that I really want to talk about, is your experience with your injuries. And I've been following you for quite some time in regards to the journey that you share with dancers when it comes to your recoveries. But why don't you give us some background, starting, of course, with the diagnosis you received a couple of years ago. It's actually very common with this type of diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy, because I have always had a lot of different symptoms. And ironically, it wasn't my injuries that brought me to the diagnosis. It was actually all of the other health things that I was having going on, and pains and things. So I've always been, well, okay. So when I was really, really young, I was super, super mobile. And I'm mobile now, but not nearly as mobile as I was when I was younger. And I would have like issues with constipation or just like GI pains. And anytime I went to the doctors, you know, my symptoms weren't extreme. So they were always like, oh, that's normal. Oh, just do this. Oh, just do that. And one thing that I always have felt has worked against trying to come to a conclusion or a solution for things is not all doctors work together. And so you go to see all these different specialists, and they're just looking at the one set of organs that they know or that they specialize in. And for me, I needed a team of people to be like, okay, well, let's look at the whole picture here. And then in college, after my second ACL tear, I started talking to a genetics doctor, and she, you know, did the physical exam, diagnosed me with hypermobility Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And so then I started working with her and a dietitian and a neurologist. And then a lot of my symptoms went away just by, you know, figuring out what things to take out to help with that, with my Ehlers-Danlos, not even just because of I wanted to lose weight. It was more of just like, how do I get to my own like healthiness, you know?
Absolutely. that this is a huge topic, actually, something that I've recently covered on my blog, not specific to Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or for dancers listening, you might just kind of see this quickly on Instagram as being EDS or the hypermobile type HEDS. And why does this end up being either not necessarily misdiagnosed, but diagnosed so late for dancers because of the expectations in the dance world, hypermobility injuries, you know, they might be common, but they're not normal. It's usually what I say. A lot of the symptoms that you perhaps felt could have frustratingly for you been very brushed off, which is what it sounds like. Yeah. But one huge thing I want to bring up here that you mentioned is the idea of utilizing food in a way to support your needs for this medical diagnosis, rather than as a way to say, I need to quote unquote lose weight, or I am restricting these foods for reasons of XYZ. You're utilizing, with the help of a dietitian, a licensed professional, self-discovery to determine, okay, this is what works for my body. These foods are causing me to feel this way, so I'm going to omit them, or I'm going to limit them. So I think there's this huge, especially in like the anti-diet space, because I'm an anti-dietitian, so I don't promote food restrictions.
Right.
A lot of dancers will come to me and say, well, I have a medical reason for not being able to eat a certain food or a food allergy. And I'm like, that makes sense for your body.
Having to take things out for medical reasons or allergy reasons, you know, whatever, is very different than just taking out carbs because you think that that's going to help, because there's so much that goes into a diet.
Sure.
And even for me, it was like with the traumatic comments that I had when I was younger that forced me into bad patterns. One, my mother never allowed it. She was like, you're beautiful, we're not doing this, you know?
Amazing. Yeah.
And two, it was just like, my body cannot function that way. Yeah. And as people will learn, as you get older and you dance more and more and you're pushing 6, 7, 8 hour days, you have to fuel your body. Like there, it's very hard and almost impossible to have a full energy day without fueling it. It just doesn't happen. And so, and especially with me, like there were things that I enjoyed eating that I had to take out because of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, but I feel so much better. My body is happier, you know? And so I agree 100%. Like that is a huge thing that I feel like people should pay more attention to, that rather than like, oh, this might help me lose weight, because it's not about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing that you mentioned, of course, is the idea of, well, how is food supporting me? Not just physically. Physically is a big one, especially for what you were going through, but also emotionally and mentally. How, at the end of the day, in regards to, again, that anti-diet space, sometimes it can come off on something like Instagram as being like, because these are the comments I get, or the critique I get is like, oh, like you're encouraging us to eat dessert all day, every day. And it's like, no, that's actually not what I'm saying.
Right.
Because anyone who eats dessert all day, every day, isn't really going to feel that good. The point is to make choices that allow you to feel good physically.
Yeah.
And for you to have this diagnosis, to be able to make connections between certain foods that don't allow you to feel good physically. Well, then that is, that's you making a choice out of self-care and not self-control, which is very much born in diet culture. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's so crazy because I mean, even me, I mean, the bad habits I had when I was younger got nipped pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, even with that, it's like you, especially depending on who you're surrounded with and what their experience is as well. Like, especially for me, I'm a huge empath. Like I feel on people a lot. So I get affected by things.
Yeah.
So like even once being here and truly being like in my own space, 2,000 miles away from home, I was very adamant with myself. I was like, no. We are going to fuel ourselves no matter what is going on around us, because I performed the way that I wanted to, and I was able to do a lot more. And then because I was happy and I wasn't nitpicking at every little thing that was going into my body, I was like, I look great, you know, for me and not by anybody else's standards. I was like, I like the way that I look. I love the way that I'm dancing, and that's enough. And I think people sometimes get trapped into trying to please one person, look a certain way. And the thing is like, you have to make you happy first and foremost. And two, you're going to fit in somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't work one place, there's another place that might work as well. And so maybe that is maybe being more open to a different dream, or still having the same dream and it just exists or manifests itself in a different way, you know? But I feel like if you put you first, people will be a lot more, people will be surprised about how much more your body responds to that.
Yeah. And one thing I will say that we see in the research is that when disordered eating behaviors, or as you had mentioned, which were nipped pretty quickly, which was great, just the kind of like bad habits around food, probably in relation to maybe restrictive type of habits. Mm-hmm. When those behaviors lessen, we see more ability to achieve body satisfaction rather than body dissatisfaction. And what we see is when there are disordered eating behaviors, restrictive eating behaviors, we're seeing more body dissatisfaction. They really are connected. And I think it was so interesting for you to say, you know, luckily those behaviors were nipped pretty quickly and you were able to achieve this place where you were coming to an acceptance for yourself. And one thing I want to talk about is the idea of when I talk to a lot of dancers who went into the professional world much younger, like mm-hmm. 16, 17, instead of going the college route.
Yeah.
Very much what we see is those behaviors not necessarily getting nipped in the butt quickly because they're away from home. And they're, of course, in these conservatory type programs. So I think it's interesting to hear from that perspective of that's another major benefit of potentially going the college route and yes. still being able to go to the company route.
Yes. Well, it's funny because I feel like I went from one extreme to the next. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in high school, we were all like super hyper focused on mm-hmm. ballet, you know, mm-hmm. ballet body, eat like a ballet dancer, you know, like that mentality. And like I said, my mom was very much like, you need to love you.
Sure.
You know, and so we worked through that. And also, I do want to also say, like, even though I'm saying it was nipped quickly, it was took years for me to get to a
totally
like internal safe space, I guess. But then when I got to college, then I was surrounded by all these people that just like didn't care. You know, they were like, yeah, we're gonna go out and have fun. We're gonna eat at 10 p.m. because we feel like it. You know what I mean? And so then it was also nice to be in that environment where people were just happy with themselves. Interesting going from, in a sense, one extreme to the next, but then it helped me come to like a middle ground for myself of like, okay, like I can feed cravings because you have to mm-hmm. and asking for them for a reason. But then also, you know, I don't need to go to an extreme in order to achieve what I want. So
absolutely. And I think that's such a great point, being able to achieve that middle ground for yourself, because another thing that sometimes comes off with the anti-diet mentality is, are we just losing ourselves? Which is, of course, not the case. It's in fact, the very opposite. It's allowing us to determine and discover what works for us as an individual rather than what works for the society at large or for the dancer next to us. Mm-hmm. So Jazz, I want to hear a little bit more about your recovery journey. I know that you are were on injury 3 with your ACL, right? And then you had surgery this past October.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about this.
Okay. So yeah, this process has been probably the hardest mentally, which I was not prepared for. Mm-hmm. just because I'd been through it already. So I was like, okay, you know, the surgery process might be a little different, but I know what to expect. I'm going to be fine. And that was not entirely the case, but I think it's like I mentioned earlier, this time is very different for me trying to rehab for a job than it was being at home and being in my bed and just not having to worry about real life things, you know, not having to pay bills and all that stuff. So, yeah, this and the process as a whole was just very different. So when I was going into surgery, I thought what was going to happen was my bone graft was going to be done. So he was going to repair the old tunnels that had been drilled from the previous surgeries. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to, so he still did it, but there's this procedure now that exists for ACL repairs for HEDS. What they do is they do a normal ACL repair, but then they also take 1/3 of the IT band and reinforce it around the knee. So that way your hip, your knee, and your ankle all rotate together. And instead of knee down, rotating further than knee up.
Yep.
And that, for me, those are still places where I have a lot of mobility. And like, even now, it doesn't feel different, but I definitely see the difference that it makes, because now when I rotate, it's so easy. Like,
wow.
Weirdest thing. I thought it was going to feel, I don't know what I thought it was going to feel like, but now, like, when I rotate, you know, into first or fifth or whatever, it is so easy to stand and turn out.
Well, is it forcing you to really find true turnout from your hip rather than overextending it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, there you go. I don't even have to think about it when I'm like, everything follows together and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know?
Interesting.
So that was going to be surgery one, just the IT band reinforcement and the bone grafting. And then I was going to have to wait 2 months and then have my ACL and my meniscus repaired. So I went into surgery, and when I woke up, my surgeon was like, I did everything. And I was like, what? Which was amazing, you know, because then I didn't have to wait 2 months for another surgery. But instead of being able to go back to the prehab that I was doing with taking class and doing Pilates and, you know, reformer work and everything, I was done, or not done, but I was like out for 6 weeks, which for me was a huge adjustment, because I was like not prepared to not be doing anything, you know. And then this time was a more painful than the last two times, which is also different for me, because I've had now my third ACL, but then I had hip surgery and foot surgery when I was younger, and I've never really been in pain after surgery, which is kind of, but with the bone grafts this time, I felt a lot of that, because they're, you know.
Yeah.
So dealing with that and trying to manage that pain for a while was really frustrating. But then now everything is functioning really well, which is awesome. I've like, now I'm hitting a point where my body is remembering how to do things and firing a lot better. And then I'm at this point in recovery where it's like my body wants to do more. And even though I still have things that I'm not allowed to do, it makes me more excited and more confident getting back into ballet, because my body's like, oh yeah, no, we know how to do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to have a lot more days of like, ooh, I did this. Ooh, I did this today. Like, I think it was on Monday, I did like a 16 count balance on the left leg, which was like, you know, I hadn't been able to do that for the last 4 months. So, you know, now I'm starting to have days like that where I'm like, yes, I did this today. I did one passe, which was great. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's amazing. And really reassuring for a lot of dancers to hear that are at the beginning point of that, taking time off from the studio. So whether it's like a surgery, recovery, maybe it's just an illness, dancers are at that beginning point and all they see is like, oh my God, I can't go into the studio tomorrow.
Right.
What am I going to do? And I think it's important to understand that that's not an easy task for any dancer. Just like you said, you struggled probably emotionally and mentally, and a lot of dancers are going to have that struggle. But to also just hear how you are coming through that and coming to the other side and being able to see progress from the rest that you're taking and from those slow progressions that you're taking is really incredible.
Yes. And it's like, I really had to figure out how to have patience with myself this time. Because for me, especially now that I've been away, that I've lived on my own for 4 years now,
I'm
very self-sufficient. So then it was like not being able to do things and trying to allow myself to allow others to help me was really, really hard. And yeah, I don't know. It was a very, I enjoyed the process now, having gone through everything. I definitely would not have said that probably while I was in the midst of sort of this part of recovery. But yeah, I feel like I learned a lot more about myself internally this time. being away from the studio, just because everything was different, just had a different perspective.
Well, that definitely brings me to my next question, which is about balance and really in regard to how you do maintain balance outside of the studio. So obviously a lot has been thrown your way with these injuries and with having to take this time off. And then that's on top of COVID and going through an entire pandemic where no dancer was in the studio for, I don't even know, 18 months maybe.
Right.
So talk to us how you were able to maintain balance. You obviously are familiar with this because you went, again, that college route, which I personally think helps a dancer to build different perspectives in life instead of that high school hyper-focused ballet mentality that you spoke about. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So I mean, as much as ballet has always been like my main focus, my main drive for what I wanted to do, there are a lot of things that I also enjoy doing. So, and also I think because of how my mom played with us when we were younger, I've always just got my hands into a lot of different things. And so when I was a kid, like, we had hundreds of Barbies, we had half for those Barbies, we had, you know, paint and mark, like just a lot of different things to do around the house. So that continued to translate as I got older, whether it was like things I like to read or a new arts and crafts I like to pick up. So when we went into the pandemic, it really wasn't that bad for me, which is weird. It wasn't until the year after that things were me. But when we first went into lockdown, it really wasn't bad because I was like, oh, I can paint. I can do yoga. You know, I mean, it was hard being in the house. That was the hard part for me. But I just figured out how to be active in the house as best I could. But then I just threw myself into all the other things that I like doing. So I started painting a ton. I at some point want to start my own wedding and event planning business.
I saw you post about that. That's awesome.
That took me longer than I thought it was going to. Mostly just because of once we got back to work, then I was like, oh, I'm tired, you know?
Yeah. So
then, to get back into reading 24 pages was a lot, but
yeah.
But, you know, I did that, and I just tried to do the things that I didn't have time to do with ballet, and that's kind of how I occupied my time. But then this time, it was hard to distract myself because I wasn't really away from work, or at least I wasn't in the building. So since now, like, being injured at work, once you're, you know, doing workman's comp stuff, you still have like admin things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always in the building, which I think made it harder.
Sure.
Because I wasn't like actually separated from it. I was still seeing everyone every day. I was watching everyone in rehearsal. And at first, the first ballet was Dracula, and I had already started rehearsals for that. So then that, and being like, oh, that was my spot. I did this up to that point. That was really hard.
Yeah.
But then now, once we've done like Nutcracker and Romeo and Juliet, things that I haven't rehearsed or touched, it's been easier to just like enjoy them for what they are. And then I've been teaching a lot more, which I also love doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I just tried to increase the things that I enjoy, have always enjoyed doing, or start to do the things that I want to do.
You know, the biggest takeaway here is just have multiple eggs in different baskets, be able to do different hobbies, and all of that is going to help you down the road as a dancer, as a well-rounded dancer. Jazz, my final question for you is, when I ask all the dancers on here, is how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer?
I would say to be a healthy dancer is to always work in your happiness. Life is always going to throw us different challenges, different curveballs, and people are going to project expectations on us always. And the only way to stay balanced and to stay sane is to put you and your happiness first. So, you know, depending on who you are, that might be through books or through some sort of other art element, or maybe if you're religious, that might be through prayer. You know, I feel like it's really important to find those things that bring you that balanced feeling, and really hold on to those and keep those, which is a lot easier said than done. but I feel like in the ballet world, we get this mindset of being, putting ourselves first is selfish.
Sure.
And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Definitely put yourself first, because while you do have people that support you and that are there for you, you are there for yourself first, foremost. Yeah. That's what I would say, is just to find that happiness, keep building on that happiness, and then find those outlets that that for you.
Yeah. And one thing I always like to just piggyback on that would be just always reassessing it. It's reassessing, making sure that the joy is still there. Because if the joy is not there, you know, there will be stressful days. There will be not great days in comparison to other days in the studio. We all know that. But always check in with the joy that you have from dance. Because if that's not there for a consistent amount of time, then it could be a big sign that a dancer could be led to burnout. And for whatever reason, we want to make sure we're intervening upon the reasons for why that might be happening, in regards to like, not having that balance, not having those other hobbies, perhaps restrictive eating behaviors and so forth. So that idea of maintaining joy is so important. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. And also to that point, I do also want to say is to just remain open-minded to what your path looks like, because mine has not looked at all what I thought it was going to look like when I was, mm-hmm. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And I don't regret a single part of it, because I am me because of all of these things that have happened. So I would also say to be open to how your career, how your path becomes what it is or what it was.
I could not agree with that more. I feel the same exact way. If someone told me when I was 10 years old that I would be a dietitian for dancers and have zero regrets on that career, I would have never believed them. Right. So I think it's really such a great point, is to not set too strict of expectations and to be open to the potential twists and turns that life's going to bring us. Jazz, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Rachel. It was awesome.